December 17th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere at Mulberry, episode 64.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
Going to the world, I'm getting laid. I'm getting laid tonight. We'll light the Yule log, deck the halls, and then we'll play some jingle balls. It's been a real long wait. This is our second date. It's Christmas Eve and I'm getting laid.
Wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Merry Christmas, everybody, and happy holidays. I'm celebrating Christmas also with my friend here, Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How are you doing, Steven? Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all the other seasonal greetings.
Yes, it's a joyous year, and look outside, it's a white Christmas, Steven. That's right, there's blow everywhere.
Oh,
woohoo!
That makes Tony very happy.
Hey, also we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Say hello to my little friend.
Merry Christmas to you, Bill.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Merry Festivus.
And
Festivus
also,
for the rest of us.
And also a Happy New Year. Yes, it is indeed. It's been a long year for Mulberry, has it not? We've been doing this show for over a year. That was last September when we reached that milestone. But we've reached that little part of the year where we've run out of shows to talk about. So what we'll choose this time where we'll take next week off. So Christmas weekend, and then we got New Year's. We're going to take that time off. Maybe we'll do something a little special in there. Maybe.
I'm on vacation the week of Christmas.
So. I was thinking a Rocky show where we just talk Rocky. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we all need to go see Rocky.
Because next Friday, I'm going to see the Rocky. And Steven, you're invited. Are you going? Are you going to be in town?
I'll go see Rocky.
And Bill, you're invited too.
Yeah, I'm going.
I love Rocky. Oh, thank you. That's right, baby. We're going to go see Rocky for Christmas. I feel like jump roping.
I remember seeing this in the theater, the very first one.
Good times. Oh, man. You can never
I'll
get sick
like
of that music.
I feel like punching a speed bag.
Yeah, I feel like...
Do you feel like chasing a chicken around in a courtyard?
My favorite one was in Rocky III when him and Apollo, at the end, they start frolicking in the ocean. Like, yay! Don't you love that?
Yes!
Nice synth pop. Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered,
You know what? It almost sounds like it could be the same music.
They oh,
just
totally.
Did different lyrics for Rocky IV. That was
Vince DiCola is a master of lyricism.
That was Vince DiCola with Transformers, and then you listen to Rocky IV. It sounds like the same music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's the song?
I'm surprised that Stan Bush didn't sing anything for Rocky IV.
Oh, what is that from Rocky IV? Real quick, I gotta play that on the show.
There's Hearts on Fire.
Oh yeah, that's it.
There's a couple of them that are pretty Vince DiCola-y
music.
Oh yeah.
Now who's saying this, Bill?
Oh gosh, why isn't it coming to me?
He's jumping the hell out of that.
John Cafferty, the guy that was in Eddie and the Cruisers.
The Beaver Brown Band?
Right.
Yeah.
This
is quite possibly the best Rocky training montage ever.
I love Ivan Drago with all the high-tech equipment. Rocky's chopping wood.
The best is the end of the clip. When he's being followed and he runs up the mountain.
Right.
Oh, yeah, when the KGB wrecked their car.
But there's also, that's not the only song, there was also this one.
Yes. There's no easy way out. Rocky IV easily had the best 80s music ever.
Yeah, that was so bad. They needed Bill Conti, but you know what? The movie's fun just for that. Like,
yeah.
Watching how bad the 80s music was and everything.
But I totally would not want Bill Conti for it, because Vince DiCola is the epitome of bad 80s synth guitar music.
Yeah. He did the music to two very memorable films that you can watch over and over again. So that says something, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm totally going to have a Vince DiCola film marathon.
Yes.
Which I think is only two.
It's Transformers the movie and Rocky IV. I think he did like a video game after that. And I think I don't know what Vince DiCola is doing, but we need to get him on the show.
You can't forget the best, well, not Hearts on Fire with John Cafferty. That's the best Rocky IV song. But the second best is easily Burning Heart by Survivor. They tried to go back to that well and do the Eye of the Tiger thing again.
Eye of the Tiger sold a lot of records. It was a great song. Let's go back to Survivor and try to hitch. Lightning will strike twice, but no, it didn't happen.
I'll never forget. My dad had the 45 of Eye of the Tiger. But he also had the 45 of Gonna Fly Now. And it had the record company that produced it had the coolest label. It was like this black label with this long, like, soft top caddy on it with the logo written on it.
I always loved the Survivor video because they're walking down the street like badasses, like, dun, 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 dun.
Kind
they're
of just like badass in your spandex.
Yeah, it's like, ooh.
But that's the original one. The other one is them in concert with clips of Rocky III.
Right.
In it. Because isn't that what they wrote it for? They wrote it for Rocky III.
Right, right. When Apollo decides to teach Rocky everything he knows also to beat Clubber Lang, and he's like, you got to get the Eye of the Tiger back. And it's like, uh-oh, cue music. Dun, 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 dun. It's awesome. Now, before we move on to our favorite Christmas movies, I thought we would talk about that. You know, it's the Christmas movies we like. There's been quite a controversy, Bill. I don't know if you heard about this, but Rosie O'Donnell has offended the Asian community.
Yes, because she's a big lesbian racist.
Yes, because on the show, she was talking about Danny DeVito, how the story was huge for their show. All around the world, people are talking about drunk Danny DeVito. And then she decides to include the Asians, and here's what happens. And it's very offensive. I must warn all of our Asian listeners out there.
Hold on the yes.
I don't know. Look at people saying no.
You told it to Kira Sedgwick.
Oh, all right. Well, yes. The fact is that it's news all over the world. Yes. So, you know, you can imagine in China, it's like, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, Danny DeVito, ching chong, 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 Gronk, The View, ching chong.
I like the big gong at the
end. Yeah, that was a so poor taste.
I guess Chinese don't have words for the.
Yeah, that's just.
Or drunk.
Of you.
Drunk, yeah.
And I don't know what chong 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 is, but I'd like to know. It's very offensive.
Danny DeVito. Ching chong 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 chong.
Oh, Rosie, come on. That's so offensive.
Now, if she, like, spoke Yiddish or, let's say, even British, like that British slang, like, oh, Danny DeVito got pissed on The View.
To all the Cockney chimney sweeps of
being
over.
Is that so stupid.
It is. I'd like to ask for a personal apology on behalf of all of our Asian listeners. We have listeners in the Philippines. We have listeners in Japan listening to NIM. And I think it's very offensive. I don't know about you guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I think she needs to apologize to everybody.
Yeah, but she does.
And, I love Pilipinos, by the way.
All right, Foggy. Jesus Christ. Now, Bill, what is your favorite holiday movie? Because this time of year, the best time is to watch your favorite holiday flick and kind of fill the spirit of Christmas and get you in the mood to some gift-giving, gift-receiving, and all that Yuletide stuff.
Speaking of, I think one of the best Christmas songs ever is the one that Bing Crosby does with David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
It's, Peace on Earth / Little Drummer Boy. Right. That was on the other day, and I was really digging it.
They show it every year.
I always enjoy the waitress's Christmas rapping.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what my favorite is? That Tom Petty. It's Christmas time.
Nobody
again.
Enjoys that.
No, nobody likes that. Free falling. Well, the other day.
Oh, great song.
I don't ever want to hear that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I think my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard.
Yes, great holiday flick because it is
Which
Christmas
also,
time.
You know, it happens to be one of my all-time favorite movies.
They went back to the well for the second movie where they made it Christmas time again in the airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with William Sadler and...
they cheated a little there, I thought.
They did. It wasn't as good, but it was still enjoyable. I mean, come on. Yeah. Whenever he releases the gas on it, and it's up, and then he lights it and says, Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Yeah.
And then you see the flames going up. I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Well, it was cool because it was Christmas time with snow. It wasn't in L.A. this time. But you know what another great Christmas flick? Lethal Weapon. Christmas time.
Oh, absolutely.
Opens the Jingle Bell Rock. That's a great Christmas movie. And you know, I'm going to say right now, the Jimmy Stewart movie, hate it, don't care.
Yeah, it was on last night, and I was watching it while I was putting some more stuff on the Christmas tree. I can hate that movie.
And here's why. I'm going to tell you my reasons why I don't like it. Because I'm supposed to watch it during Christmas time, and I'm supposed to feel that Christmas. No, I want to watch Lethal Weapon and feel Christmassy, all right?
I've got a crossover movie that I like, which is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know what, Steven? It's not your turn yet.
Oh, hey, whoa. Hey, it's a time of giving.
The thing with It's a Wonderful Life is, you know, yeah, they do play it every year, and they, like, force it on you. It's like you don't really love Christmas unless you love this movie. But it's just so long-winded, and it's just a long-winded retelling of a Christmas story. Or, wait, no, Christmas Carol. Sorry, Christmas Story is Ralphie, Double Dog Daria stuff.
And that does, but that is a good Christmas movie.
Yeah, that's a great Christmas movie.
But the part
Except
I hate...
for them playing it for 24 hours straight.
You know what? I really don't mind that, because... When I want to watch it, I can just, like, flip it on and let it go for a while as opposed to, like, grabbing the
DVD.
And
you know what's cool is what we did last year when people were over and you're opening presents, we had a Christmas Story on continuously that whole time. Yeah. And everyone's watching it. Oh, I love this part.
Yeah.
Someone else shows up to
your house.
It's
good and it's bad.
Yeah.
For the same reason.
Here's another thing about It's a Wonderful Life. Is that the one where he's like, hey, do you want the moon? I'll go up and throw a big lasso around it.
Yes, the commercial.
And the commercial where the lady's watching that and she's feeling, oh, she's about to have...
Why don't you kiss her already?
Yeah. And then the husband's kind of looking at her and he pulls like a little ring.
pulls his penis out of his pants, waves it in her face.
He has a diamond, and he surprises her. She's like, oh, well, the director's cut of that commercial has him also strangling her afterwards, and he's a serial killer. It's awesome.
And then Dexter comes in and murders him.
Yeah. But let's think, what other good Christmas? Christmas Story, that's good.
Okay, Steven said The Nightmare Before Christmas, but I don't know. I consider that more of a Halloween movie. I mean, yeah, it's Christmas.
I call it a crossover. That's why I said it's a duel.
It's a definite holiday movie where you could watch it between Halloween and Christmas time.
You know, I don't like the movie as much as I like the Danny Elfman music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I just bought the new re-release of the sound with the alternate cuts on the,
right,
on the disc, too.
Yeah.
And Marilyn Manson sings a tune and...
Huh. What the hell?
I don't care about Marilyn Manson, but there's a band that I like called She Wants Revenge that does a tune.
Yeah, they're real good.
I thought of another Christmas time movie that's good. Gremlins. That's got a,
yes.
It's during Christmas. It's got a good holiday feel, but it's also dark. But it's still a Christmas holiday movie.
There's one too that's
yes,
quite humorous.
That movie soured Little Drummer Boy for me forever.
Yeah.
Because I never really liked the song, but then once that scene comes on where the mom is going downstairs...
That's a genius sequence.
It's just like, whoa, okay, I don't like that song anymore. Do you hear what I hear? No, I hear a gremlin in a microwave. I think my second favorite Christmas movie has to be Bad Santa. Because that movie
really?
Just cracks me up. I absolutely love it.
I'm at a loss here because I've never seen the whole movie.
You have to watch the unrated edition. Rent it, and you will laugh your ass off.
The National Lampoon with Chevy Chase Christmas.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, Christmas
yeah,
Vacation.
Yeah.
Genius.
I remember seeing that in the theater the year it came out. My dad and I must have saw it 5 or 6 times. And the one time we took my mom... My mom cried at it and said, that's my family.
That's a definite one you have to watch before Christmas is coming on.
There's those certain movies that you love. Like the other night, Charlie Brown Christmas was on. And although it's not really a movie, it's just the epitome of Christmas for me. And it just warms my heart every time I see it. I just absolutely love it. There's, of course, the 1938 version of A Christmas Carol, which I think I've only seen once or twice. I don't really care about.
I got a good one, too. Scrooged.
What? Yeah, Scrooge.
Scrooge.
Bill Murray. Uh-huh. Excellent.
Bill Murray was great in that.
I'd rather watch that than any of the numerous Christmas carols that they show, you know?
And so was Buster Poindexter.
Yeah.
Really good in that.
Hot.
How about Trading Places?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
I love the part where
Man, there's
drunk
so many movies
Santa.
You don't think about.
I know. He's got the food stuck in his beard.
Yeah, he's eating that big salmon
he's
through
like,
his beard.
And there's a lady like, oh, she's about to vomit from looking at yeah, Trading Spaces. Add that to the list. Another Christmas flick. Great holiday movies.
Home Alone.
Boo.
Home Alone 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Definitely not, sir. Oh, I got Vanessa calling me. Hold on.
What the hell does she want again?
Hey, we got Vanessa on the line. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We thought we were going to do our big Christmas show without you. Thank you for joining us. It's the...
The funny thing is, I got stuck in Christmas traffic, which is what made me late.
Yeah,
that's not really that funny.
No, it is.
Oh, Bill, cut it out.
Oh, Vanessa, that's a hilarious story. Now, well, at least you got here in time for the show. Now, what I was going to say about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I love that show that they show it every year. No matter how bad, you know, the land of the Christmas toys or
the
whatever.
Land of Misfit toys.
Yeah, Misfit toys. The gay Jack in the Box.
Yeah,
the Charlie in the Box.
It doesn't matter how bad it is because it's just the nostalgia factor sticks with it.
But the thing that always really bothered me about Rudolph is everyone hates the dude.
But yet
until
he
can bail them out. And then
that's been
like,
my whole problem with the whole Rudolph thing all along.
Because, you know, they wouldn't let him play any reindeer games until he bails their asses out of the fire. And then they're like, you know what? You all right, Rudolph.
Play reindeer games with us.
Yeah, what is that crap about? Basically, they're a bunch of assholes.
Yeah. They're it's like a high school
reindeer clique.
Yeah, it is. Bastards. He shouldn't have bailed him out.
Maybe, you know, Rosie should talk to them.
I know. She really should. She's a racist.
I'm forgetting one that I didn't mention. It's remember the Mickey's Christmas Carol from the early 80s? Oh,
yes,
I remember that.
That was that I loved that as a kid. I still like watching it.
You know what? Hey, Bill, here's one. I might be reaching a little bit, but it is during Christmas time, and it is snowy in it, and that is The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Shane Black, directed by Rennie Harlan, one of my all-time favorites.
Could that be a Christmas flick?
Absolutely, I don't see why not.
If you're going to watch two Christmas movies this year, two that we've mentioned, just watch A Christmas Story and then watch Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation, yeah.
Watch
yeah.
those two Christmas movies. Now, guys, are we going to bring up the Santa Claus trilogy at all during this holiday?
No. In fact, I was hoping you wouldn't.
Okay, we won't. That's our holiday talk. We just thought we'd recommend some holiday cheery movies for you to watch and get in the Christmas mood. Before we move on, guys, I got a couple of voicemails. Let's check them out. What do you say?
Oh, hey, guys. This is Brock again. Brock from New York. Just wanted to give a quick call. I just finished listening to the latest episode of Nowhere in Mulberry. And just a couple of things. First off, that guy who was hating on the show. Look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. We should give the guy a break, but in this case, his opinion is just wrong. But, you know, he is entitled to that opinion, and he has to sleep with that opinion at night. That didn't make a lot of sense. I think you understand.
He has to live with himself.
I just want to say a couple of things. Frankly, I disagree with you guys on your apparent agreement. The original Pirates of the Caribbean, it's a lot of fun to watch. It really is. Is it a great movie? No, they're not reinventing the wheel, but it's a lot of fun to watch. And the second
I would rather watch someone reinvent the wheel than that piece
long.
Of shit.
If they cut out the entire Cannibal Island scene, the entire movie would work just as well and be much tighter and cleaner. As far as the Rocky movies go, Mulberry Bill, man, your love of Rocky IV is just like my love of Rocky III. It's the one I grew up on. It's kind of like your Roger Moore and your Sean Connery, James Bond, you know, who you grew up with. And Rocky III, man, I just love Rocky III. It's been on Spike TV. I've been watching it over and over again, much to my wife's chagrin.
Classic.
Now, did I hear correctly during the Rocky conversation that Vanessa dropped in there all so subtly and no one picked up on it that she would do Peter Petrelli? She said, I do him right there. I just snuck it in. And you guys might want
to just ignore
this
statement,
and
sir.
Check it out. And you mentioned Land Shark. Do you guys remember, and I know Mulberry Bill might because he's really young, that their He-Man toy and the He-Man Masters of the Universe line.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember that.
And so I saw the toy before I saw the classic SNL sketch. And, you know, back when you're like 10, you thought, hey, man, they ripped that off from He-Man. Well, I
yeah.
ripped it off on the other way around. But do you guys remember that toy at all? And if I am dating myself, well, then, yeah. And as far as Foggy being real or not being real, all I have to say to people is just listen to the earliest episodes of Mulberry and Mulberry, and you'll find out exactly if this mystery can be solved. That's all I'm going to say about that. Great show, you guys, for hysterically funny. I wear earphones listening to you guys at work, and all of a sudden I just burst out in laughing, and my office mate turns over and like looks at me like I'm crazy because of this like burst of laughter. Please
I
keep
love
up
that.
Good work, and happy holidays to y'all. Talk
hey,
to
Merry
you.
Christmas to you, Brock. I love whenever
Thanks, Brock.
Anyone tells us that they listen to us at work.
It makes them laugh out loud. That's what
people
makes,
look at them. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, the Land Shark was a vehicle, was a car.
Oh,
it looked
okay.
like a shark. It had like gun turrets on the side.
I've kind of
I
wondered,
had that too.
When he was talking about Pirates of the Caribbean, I know Bill. I know you've said that you hated the movie, and so did Vanessa. I believe. Didn't you say?
I thought it was okay. It wasn't as great as everyone thought.
No, I didn't understand why you hate it. I can understand not liking it, but I don't think it's hate worthy.
See,
is
I hate
it. It was
because
watchable and fun.
I was really irritated by it because it was one of those movies that just rubbed me the wrong way. I can see where people might enjoy it. I just didn't like it at all. It was like trying to be goofy and period, and I didn't like it at all. I thought it was stupid. I thought the effects were overdone. I just didn't
I liked
not
it
enjoy
up
it.
Until the third act, the movie falls into CGI hell.
Pirates, skeletons walking underwater.
Right, and them fighting just the skeletons. They go back and forth. All of a sudden, Johnny Depp is a skeleton too, and the
yeah,
line.
So I have absolutely no appeal to even see the second one.
All right, before we move on, I just wanted to say thank you very much, Brock. That was an awesome voicemail. And Rocky III, that's the one that I was the perfect age for that. Clubber Lang, awesome. Well, I mean, I love all the Rocky movies, but Rocky III was the one where
you
I was
love
the right
number
age.
Five. Nobody loves number five.
Yeah, no, nobody loves Tommy Morrison. I was so happy when I heard he had AIDS.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Because
as usual,
really,
I'm
going
to have
like...
to ask you all to ignore Bill. Looking around, I see you're all two steps ahead of me.
What? I'm not saying anything that people haven't thought before.
But I want to make a confession. I've never seen Rocky V.
I haven't either.
I'd heard so many bad things about it when it came out. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch it. And I did. And I still have it.
I think I've seen it on TV. I never
went. I'm sorry. I didn't want to see Rocky bankrupt.
Yeah, and then his son going to a new school and getting beat up by kids, and his father not paying attention to him.
Yeah, that's
he
like
the new boxer. And
yeah,
it was so bad.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. Before we move on, let's check out another voicemail.
Hey, fellas, this is Ron. You know, with the recent glut and the coming of more comic book movies, I was curious as to what some of your guys' favorite comic book movies and some of your least favorite comic book movies of all time. So, yeah, I'm asking for your guys' pretentious opinions on what your favorite comic book movies and least favorite comic book movies of all time. And I was wondering if you're aware, I just saw this in Wizard, that they're going to make an Ant-Man movie. Of all the damn superheroes that they haven't made,
that's
going to
be good, actually.
Ant-Man? I can just see this one. I can just see how exciting this one's going to be. Anyway, just curious out in your guys' opinions on the best and worst of comic book movies. All right, thanks.
Well, Ant-Man, I don't think it'll ever get made, but Edgar Wright, director of Shaun of the Dead, is right now at the helm of it.
Then that's totally going to be awesome.
Yeah, it will, but it just sounds like one of those projects that won't ever get made when you hear about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember for the longest time, Sam Raimi, he wanted to do, like, a Shadow movie or Doc Savage, and now I'm kind of hearing stuff about that again. Now, if he does make it, then it'll be awesome, but you've heard about it for so long, it's just like, I'm not going to hold my breath kind of thing. But if Edgar Wright does make an Ant-Man and has, like, Simon Pegg as Ant-Man, that would rock! That'd be so cool.
All right, so let's think best and worst here.
Worst, I'm going to say Phantom.
You know what? No.
Okay.
I didn't think Phantom was that bad. I mean, are you
what?
Forgetting Steel with Shaq?
Oh, oh wow.
That was pretty bad.
Or what about the Dolph Lundgren Punisher?
Hey, whoa. Right there, pal.
That's bad.
Dolph Lundgren, the Punisher, I can sit through that. I am entertained by that horrible movie. It's awesome.
What about Captain America?
Oh, wow. That is pretty bad. Any of those canon films. But here, I'm going to go ahead and say this right now, because I thought I could sit through it on HBO, but Catwoman is freaking awful.
I forgot about Catwoman.
I don't care if you think that Halle Berry's totally hot and you want to see her hot body in the movie. No, you can't sit through it.
Yeah.
Can't.
Yeah, she is really, really horrible.
It's really bad. And I'm going to say right now, it's not based on a comic book, but Darkman is at the top of my list on comic book type movies.
Well, it's comic-y, and I think it's really... it owes a lot of
it's more
two
of like
comic
the,
books.
The, right now, here's my favorite superhero movie, and it's Spider-Man 2. I thought it was excellent. I thought they got everything right in that. It really blew me away. Spider-Man 2, I thought, was a perfect superhero movie, and a close second was X2, X-Men United.
My number one all-time favorite comic book movie is Batman Begins.
Oh,
only
yeah.
Because it was really taken from Batman Year One, which is one of the best Batman books there is. And, you know, they changed it up a little bit, but it's still, I mean, you cannot get better comic book movie than that. Christopher Nolan was just, it was perfect.
You're right, they got the formula right. But I'm going to say right now that they got it right because of Spider-Man 2. I'm going to go ahead and say, no, I'm kidding. But they definitely, they took out the camp. Now, Steven, what's your number one superhero movie of all time?
This will date myself, too. I like the very first Superman, Christopher Reeve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, criminy.
No, I mean,
I grew up with it.
I got your back, Steven.
I won't, you know, yeah, okay.
The first one, because you know, it's something you grew up with.
Right.
That you have a
and it's very watchable now. I can sit through the original.
I'll tell you what, I would rather watch it than Bryan Singer's piece of shit. Because it's basically the same movie.
Yeah.
Vanessa, Swamp Thing, we already know is your favorite comic book.
Oh,
movie.
Yeah. You forgot that really bad one, Spawn.
Oh, Jesus. No, oh. Spawn is the worst superhero movie ever made.
Yeah, we forgot about that.
Thank you for reminding me. I remember when I left the theater, I'm not even a person to start fights or whatever, but I just saw a guy walking and I punched him in the face. That's how bad I hated Spawn.
Spawn is quite possibly the most blasphemic comic book film
and
ever
Cloak
made.
And Dagger, that was another bad one that was made into a movie.
Cloak and Dagger. I think
Cloak and Dagger.
No, Vanessa. Cloak and Dagger is a comic. No, Vanessa. Cloak and Dagger is a comic book, but Cloak and Dagger. Cloak and Dagger, the movie, has nothing to do with the comic book. It's just the same title.
Oh, because I thought they were making it from the comic book.
Yeah, nice try. But anyway,
I just remember them talking about the comic book.
But no, Spawn was horrible.
And a movie taken from characters, Mystery Man.
Forgot about Daredevil.
You know what, Daredevil?
I can watch it.
I like Daredevil.
It's fun to watch. Oh.
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy. Horrible.
Elektra is horrible.
Oh, Elektra.
Elektra is like, did any of them actually read any of Daredevil or Elektra before they made Elektra?
I know. And
I forgot the worst comic book movie of all time, Flash Gordon.
No.
Flash Gordon. Oh, come on.
Yay, listen, I know Flash Gordon isn't great. It's
so
not
campy
good,
and
yeah,
fun.
But it has that camp 70s feel to it.
Flash Gordon is a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Absolutely, I totally agree with that.
And when I say awful, I'm talking Catwoman, I'm talking Spawn, I'm talking unwatchable
Batman and Robin.
Pieces of shit is what I'm talking. Yeah, Batman and Robin, those are horrible
Spawn.
Movies. Flash Gordon is a movie that we could sit around and laugh at and remember our childhood and laugh about it and stuff.
What about
Flash
Teenage
Gordon
Ninja
has
Turtle
that same
there.
Quality that, like, Zardoz and Xanadu have, you know?
No, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one, awesome. Excellent comic book movie. The second one where Vanilla Ice shows up and he sings, Go Ninja, Go.
Go Ninja, Go. I think my second favorite comic book movie, two. I'm going to have to bring them up. This will be my top three. So we have Batman Begins as my number one. My number two is A History of Violence, because I absolutely loved the book by John Wagner. They changed it around a little bit to fit the movie better, but that's my second favorite.
That
my
doesn't
third
count.
Favorite is, yes, it does.
There's no superheroes in that.
Well, neither is Road to Perdition, and that's my third favorite.
That doesn't count either.
Blow it out your ass.
That's he just a comic. Said comic book movies. He didn't say superhero movies.
Damn. Yeah. Damn you, Ron,
I
dude.
Catch you on a technicality.
What about, like, American Splendor or Ghost World?
Oh, yeah. Those are both excellent. I'm going to say American Splendor I like more than Ghost World. Ghost World is good, though.
Ghost World is slightly irritating. It's a little pretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Hellboy. I thought Hellboy was done really well.
You know what? I was never really that big a fan of Hellboy.
I like Hellboy, but it fell apart in the end for me. One of those third act fall apart movies for me. They're making a sequel to it, which I think will be a lot better. You have to go through Spider-Man. You have to go through X-Men, the first ones, to get to the genius second ones. I think they work better that way.
What about Sin City?
That's what I was about to say. If you count
very nice, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
And we have yet to see 300, which I am so friggin' stoked for.
Yeah, it's going to rock the hizzy, as they say. Okay, well, that's our picks for comic books movies. Let's go ahead and move on, or we're going to spend forever. We're still in the opening segment of the show.
And we thought we didn't have enough to talk about.
Well, okay, guys, let's get into entertainment. What do you say? Let's do it. Oh, okay, thanks.
Ching Chong indeed.
Okay, we're not going to talk movies, we're not going to talk TV shows, we're just going to talk BSG. There we go. Now, this episode's called The Eye of Jupiter. Because they're on some Saturn-like planet that looks like Earth with a ring around it or something?
No, I think that's how they... That's how you find Earth is finding right. Jupiter.
Right.
It's the ring around the collar.
So we see,
the whole wash is clean.
We see at the beginning that Starbuck and Apollo are kind of screwing around.
Uh-huh.
And it's getting to Apollo. He wants to have a divorce. And I thought it was hilarious when she says, no, you know, marriage is a sacrament. You cannot break it. It's like, what? She's in her head, she can sleep with whoever she wants. But if she's still married, then it's okay.
I love that they talk about divorce. It's like space divorce.
Yeah, that's cool. Space divorce. But right now they're committing space adultery, which is wrong.
Awesome. Which is even better, though.
Well, so they're rounding up all their algae, right? And the chief keeps hearing, like, wind chimes or something in the hills. And he decides to go take a look, and he finds this temple.
Right.
This Eye of Jupiter temple. Let's just get to the main part of the episode. Is the Cylons show up, and they're not attacking. They want to board the Galactica. And before that happens, Baltar, he has a little chat with the Six in his head. Let's check it out.
Feels like old times, doesn't it?
Can't believe how much I actually miss this place.
You know you can't return. They toss you out the nearest airlock and then throw a party.
Yes, I know. Still, I can't help feeling I'm finally home.
If you were the asylum, a member of the Final Five, these feelings are just part of your programming, part of your cover.
And if I'm a human being after all, I'm not one of the Final Five, and this is the last chance I ever get to see my kind again.
There's a lot of foot shuffling in that scene. So they go to speak with Adama and Roslyn. I thought it was a really good scene where they have a little standoff there, and they don't even want to talk to Baltar. It's like, dude, I'm not even going to talk to you, all right? He's trying to tell them how he saved them on many occasions. They should hear him out. Where they basically want them to leave and let them have the Eye of Jupiter, because they want to find Earth, too. And Adama says, no, we're going to launch a nuke at the planet and just blow it up so you don't get it.
Well, no, it's if they make any move to take it, they'll nuke
right. I thought that's a very good scene because Adama stood down Deanna. You know, he's like, I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, but I never really understood the whole, ooh, Deanna, you know.
Well, it's not that. It's because they're much stronger.
Well, it's
physically.
Yeah, she's physically strong, and she's Xena, too. She's
she does go, la, 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 la.
And she's got that throwing frisbee thing that will hit him in the head. But also,
awesome.
Before, when Boomer's about to walk in, they're like, that's the Boomer that shot Adama. So, like, you wait out here, miss. And she tells Athena that daughter is alive. And first she doesn't believe her, but she knows it's true. Cut back to the ship, and they're debating it, and you see that Deanna and Baltar kind of got their own thing going on, where she's like, I'm very close to seeing the five faces. I like the scene where Capra comes in and is like, hey, you guys are keeping me in the dark on this. And they pretty much say, sorry, it's over with you. We kind of got our own thing to do. And she knows that she's got to go to this temple place, this mystical temple. Now, a lot of times on the show, it's almost like Lost. The mysticism isn't always there, but they bring it back for certain things. The Cylons were drawn to this place, same as you were. We just happened to meet here at the same time. Now, is that lazy writing?
I don't think they do lazy writing on this show. They get kind of out there, but they're not lazy.
Because they're, you know what I mean? How there has been mysticism in the show before, but it's not around a lot. It just comes back. Like, remember the whole thing with Roslyn? She's reading the scrolls.
You're saying it's like an ends to a means, or means to an end, sorry.
It shows up every once in a while, and when it does, I'm kind of like, oh, we're back on the mysticism thing.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of, like, at the beginning of the episode, they start talking about, what is it, the Temple of Five, the Eye of Jupiter.
Right.
And I'm just like, what the hell is going on
here? This is what
here?
I'm starting to think by all this, that the five original Cylons are part of the 13th tribe. They were with them. Are you guys thinking that, too?
Yeah, I'm getting that, too.
And I don't know what's going on there, but I think that's very interesting that if they
the
had
five
human
pillars equal, be
yeah,
the same with
the
five
human is Cylon models have been around for a long time, and they actually went with the 13th tribe, or maybe they went after them. I don't know, but it's just kind of interesting. Maybe they sent off their tribe of five to go find the humans who ventured off. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out here. But let's get to back on the planet. Basically, they tell Starbuck and Apollo that they can't leave the planet. They're trapped there or the Cylons attack. Find out this Eye of Jupiter before the Cylons do, or we're going to have to blow it up. So you guys are kind of screwed and their communications get jammed. And there's this whole kind of silly thing with Apollo and Anders. They're kind of fighting. He's like, hey, I know what you're doing. You're banging my lady and all this. And
yeah, he's not the first.
Yeah. Did you like see Apollo kind of stopping his tracks when he goes, I knew she was doing it before. He's like, huh? She's been screwing other guys? It's like, hell yeah,
I'm
dude.
I'm
going to
get the space herpes.
It's like, dude, she has been just, she's been screwing
I hear that's
the
really
fleet.
Bad. So is space gonorrhea. That's yeah. really,
ooh,
really bad.
Yeah, it's space bullhead gonorrhea. Daggett head gonorrhea.
Space, little space syphilis.
No, here's the part where I think it's cool they show the Cylons land and they got these cool missile packs on their back or something. And they send Starbuck after she has a little altercation with Dee, where there's like, oh, you don't like my plan? So she goes and she's flying in the Raptor and then they launch some missiles at her. And why didn't she jump away is the first thing I thought. Let's just do a jump. The missiles will pass you, right? But, you know, she's under pressure and all that stuff. Okay. So anyway,
well, I told you why I thought was because she is actually warning. She's warning the crew. She has to be able to warn them before she can jump away.
But she doesn't just know jumped if, real quick and then come back.
She doesn't know if they can see her or not.
And tune into the next episode of Battlestar Galacta when we find out Steven is completely wrong. Just like he loves most things.
No, so... it's actually Mohinder's sister. No.
Yes. I had one wrong supposition.
Here's the thing is she crashes and, you know, they see her on fire and Anders like, we got to go form a rescue party. And Apollo's like, nah, not so much. We can't. Sorry. He's like, what are you talking about? We got to go look for Starbuck. We don't have a time, you know.
We don't have the people.
The Cylons are on the march. They'll be here any second. We need everyone we got. Sorry. And he's like, well, I'm going to go find her. And he's like, no, you're not, because this chick has a gun on you. I thought that whole scene was retarded. Okay? I'm going to tell you right now. I love this show, but I was just like kind of like rolling my eyes at this scene. It's like, oh, come on. It was just silly. Like, hey, we can't go look for
Starbuck.
It was
falling in Smallville territory.
Because what they're doing is they're setting up, all the tension is rising. Like, the Cylons are going to land. Baltar and Deanna are landing. Adama, he's arming all the nukes. He's going to aim at the planet. He's going to call their bluff. He's going to launch the nukes. The Cylons don't believe it. All this thing is coming to a head. And what is going on? But Apollo's like, you better not go look for your wife, who's probably burning up alive in her ship. Or I'm going to have this red shirt chick right here shoot you. It just seemed like a silly thing to tag on to all the other tension that was going on. You know, for a minute, Apollo, I mean, it just seemed out of character to me. I'll just say that.
I'll tell you why, because he knew what would happen. He'd go out there, he'd grab some people to go with him to go find her, and they can't spare anybody.
I understand that. He could have said, just go ahead and go. It just seems silly to me that they would make a big deal out of it.
Out of one guy. So, well, look, we can't have a search party, but you can go.
It's like, we'll go have Paco go after him. And he's like,
maybe he just wants to be a tool about it.
Yeah, it just seemed kind of really silly. Like, really, just, it seemed like everything else that's going on seemed really important. This kind of seemed really kind of weak, thin. I'm just saying that bothered me. It annoyed me.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that the chief keeps saying, show me the eye, and he's got his hand on it right there, doesn't he? Isn't that it? Just hit in the inner of that eye and it'll open up a secret chamber or something. Come on, hasn't he seen Indiana Jones?
It was a major setup episode. The next half.
Now, I want to talk about this.
The move.
BSG will be back in January 21st, but it'll be back on Sundays.
Good.
And that kind of totally screws us over for this show.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because just like Heroes is on Mondays.
We record the
by
show.
By the time the episode comes out, the next episode's already out.
Right. We record the show on Saturday night. The show airs on Sundays. Our show comes out on Tuesdays. So we'll be talking about the
show a week later.
And by the time our listeners listen to our show, they've already seen the next episode. So we're talking about the one from the week before. It just really screws everything up. Because we already do that with Heroes. By the
Damn you, sci-fi.
Damn you to hell, Sci-Fi Network.
Speaking of sci-fi, I watched Dead and Deader last night.
Oh, you.
Awesome! Dean Cain and Dead and Deader.
They need to send us, like, early copies so we can watch.
Yeah, they
it.
Do. Send Nowhere in Mulberry, nimpodcast@gmail.com, sci-fi. Send us early episodes on DVD so we can watch them.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, it
they
would.
Do it.
Bill, it got us all off track when we were talking Sopranos every week. We were always a week behind on Sopranos because of that. By the time
and that's why we actually stopped talking Sopranos.
Yeah, it was just
became, because it was just, yeah.
It became a big, difficult pain in the ass, essentially. Now, Dead and Deader with Dean Cain. Let's get into this for a second. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, Bill, I've turned it over to this channel a couple times because I was watching football, and not once did I see a zombie during this show.
You know what? All the zombies show up. You know what? Dean Cain was actually a zombie.
Awesome.
He was a talking, fully, totally there zombie, but he needed to eat humans to become normal again.
Awesome.
Like he would go all feral if he didn't get his fill of human meat.
How did he deduct this?
It was
this?
Really, really bad.
How did
he
come to this conclusion?
I know. And then there was this whole conspiracy, like, where some scorpion actually created this zombie virus thing, and there was a couple really bad D-grade actors in it that I've seen
and stuff
before.
Sounds like an incredibly well-written show.
Yeah, and the zombies moved, like, super fast, and they sounded like people just going...
zombie killing.
It was really, really horrible.
Some zombies move fast.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I missed that.
We're not into the fast.
No, you're not
zombies.
Sorry you missed it, believe
We're
me.
We're slow lumbering zombie fans. Vanessa.
But I'm, you know, if I could see where if I kept watching these sci-fi movies, I would be totally sucked into the next one, which is going to be Magma. Some volcanic explosion movie.
Here's
another
anytime thing.
There's a natural disaster movie, you know it's going to be good.
Sci-fi is now doing pretty good shows. They had Eureka this year, and it's coming
I
back.
I loved Eureka.
It's coming back for a second season. There's a new show called The Dresden Files about a wizard detective that looks really cool. So why can't they make better movies?
And then there's
movies?
The Room.
They let anything
the
on.
Lost Room re-airs tonight.
The Lost Room came on this week. I haven't seen all of it yet, but from what I've seen, it's a great show. And I have not seen the last chapter
yet. It looks pretty good. I haven't seen it
yet. No, it is. It's excellent. And that's what I'm saying. They can do this. They can make these cool shows. Why are they still making these crappy two-hour filler shows?
Filler.
How could we not get a directing gig doing this? They turned down Land Squid at the last minute. Funding ran out, Steven.
Aww.
Our magnum opus, Land Squid, will never be made. And we even had Dean Cain at one point. We had Patrick Swayze's brother playing the president, and then Patrick Swayze actually filled in for him, and it all fell through. It's very sad. But hopefully we can get Getty Watanabe when we hopefully we get funding again, because I love that guy.
I want to film Super Nerd next.
Awesome. Super Nerd.
I don't know.
What the fuck are you talking about?
With Getty Watanabe.
You're so stupid!
No, well, that would be with Eddie Deason.
Eddie
Steven.
Deason. That yes. Eddie being better, yes.
I love the Eddie Deason.
Wow! Yes!
Okay, guys, that's all we got to talk about this week on our TiVos. All of our shows are gone, on hiatus. When we come back after the holidays, and we're going to have more stuff to talk about.
It's like the Bad Girls Club, which I actually watched this week.
Oh, I watched
Dude,
it
that
too.
Dude, that was all-out assault, man. That drunk chick. What the hell?
That I'm sitting in the hotel room watching that, you know.
That was the blonde chick. She's like ever smacking seen. Her in the face.
Yeah, she's got her on the ground pounding
she's
her.
She's just like, bam, 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 bam. Just.
I think the second attack, the girl gets her on the ground and starts kicking her in the back and the head.
I know. My favorite was that Chinese chick.
I like the one when
whatever happened to the rules on reality television where you couldn't hit anybody?
I know. They're beating the shit out of each other.
Like, remember that the gay black kid on The Real World ended up getting kicked out of the Seattle house?
We're doing a little
he
slap.
Slapped the girl. One of the girls?
He got slapped.
Oh, yeah. He got slapped. Sorry.
All
but
right.
That show is absolutely batshit crazy.
It is.
What
is
it called?
The Bad Girls Club.
It's on the Oxygen Network.
Yeah, it's my new favorite show.
Like my body.
Steven, I,
oh,
let,
see, that
I let it go. During the BSG segment, you said you've only been wrong once. I let that slide. It's actually been twice.
Oh, twice. What was my second one?
Remember I was talking about when we were doing the BSG, when you were talking about they were assembled on an assembly line or whatever?
No, I.
No, the way you said it was, did you guys see
pieces.
The scenes?
I saw pieces of people. I thought they.
But what it turned out being is them all just laying on each other, like dying.
Well, and I said, I don't know. It looks like they're piecing them together.
No, I have the recording, Steven. I'll go back.
You need to pull that I've only been wrong once clip, so every time out of his ass.
No, what it was is you said, you guys didn't see that? They showed how they were assembled, and I was like, what is he talking about? So,
what is he talking about?
I still don't know.
No. Don't mind.
It was
mind
on the resurrection ship, anyways. Right. Whatever happened.
I love you, Steven. Merry Christmas. Here.
Sure you
do. All right, Vanessa, you ready to do the news?
I sure am.
Let's do the news!
The whole way through it, and it sucks, and I feel really misunderstood, and I'm sad.
Well, all right, Vanessa, sorry about you being sad, but what do you got in the news this week? And by the way, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Pork chop sandwiches!
In London, a drunken businessman who fell asleep on a railway track causing rush hour disruption was sentenced to 180 hours community service on Friday. Network rail staff took an hour to try and...
Wake up!
They took over an hour to try to wake up company director Kevin Craswell after he passed out on a line near Epsom last March after drinking a large amount of vodka.
Nice.
Video pictures taken by police helicopters showed him using the track as a pillow, with a train passing near his head on the other line. Rail services were disrupted for about 4 hours during the afternoon rush hour.
They couldn't just
Craswell,
pick this guy up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. Why couldn't they just move him?
He wouldn't wake up.
He must have watched the theatrical release of
Frozen. But, I mean, they couldn't physically pick him up.
I guess not. They said he was passed out. I mean, he must have drank a lot of vodka.
Just plop a dolly under him or something and lift
him
up?
They were hoping the train would clip his head and they'd just wouldn't have to worry about it.
That'd be awesome.
He's pleaded guilty to obstructing the railway by neglect.
You know, people that are passed out and drunk whenever they're, like, in an accident or something, they move like rag dolls. It's really entertaining to watch.
That is true, that dead weight. Maybe they just can... Did they say the guy's weight?
No.
The 400-pound drunk man, it's like, whoa. And there's like, dude, I can't move this guy. He's dead weight.
There's no such thing as pounds over there. It's stones.
Yeah. Oh.
It's pounds is money, right? So.
Yes. Well, he's a whole lot less now.
Yeah. In South Carolina, a man who parked illegally in a space reserved for handicapped drivers was sentenced to stand outside the store with a sign telling everybody about his crime.
Stone him!
Rajim Smith, 29, stood in front of a buy-low grocery store Thursday with a handmade sign that read, "I am not handicapped, I just parked there, sorry." Magistrate Jeff Bailey imposed the sentence. I figured he needed to apologize in a public way.
I totally love that.
I know. Smith told Bailey he didn't have the money and couldn't afford the time away from work that a jail sentence would require. He could have been sentenced to 30 days in jail or a fine of $325.
I'm sorry, it's all right. You know, my father has been in a wheelchair since late 95. He had a spinal cord injury. And when we go out together and I take him somewhere, there are always people. They always park in a handicapped spot. And they get out, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. Most times they don't have a placard, but even the ones that do, there's nothing wrong. There's no, you know, they're not moving slow. It's obvious they don't have a,
could
heart,
be a heart
condition.
Yeah,
no,
well, it could
it's,
be.
Or it's
no.
their, it might be their mother's car or somebody
not,
else's car.
Yeah, not whenever you're running.
I agree. All right, in New Delhi, an Indian silver medalist at the Doha Asian Games could be stripped of her medal after failing a gender test. Santhi Shujarin won the silver in the women's 800 meters.
I know that lady. I love her.
I bet after she has a run, she really stinks.
Mm. She had to undergo...
Did you ever get a good whiff of those Indian people?
Oh, Lordy. Stop
nice
right
guy.
There. Yes, stop. Take a breath. Anyway, she had to undergo a gender test, and there were some problems with it. They, the what? Organizers, have informed the executive board of the Olympic Council of Asia. Doubts were raised during the dope test by an official, following which the test was carried out. No
it's
further details were immediately available.
Smell.
That's totally dope.
How sad, though, but I guess, I don't know, they aren't sure she's a woman? I don't know. Did she take a gender test?
Does she know what she is?
Yeah, she's a woman, but her Thank gender you, test baby. Came up inconclusive, so now she might have to give back her medal.
Then, you know what? She's a hermaphrodite.
She's a cheater and a hermaphrodite.
All right, in California, a woman
outsmarted... She tucks it back between her legs.
Uncomfortable, isn't it?
Very.
A woman outsmarted an apparently drug-addled burglar who threatened her with a sword. Well, Robin Ricketts, who is 52, said she awoke her
Robin Ricketts! Does she have bow legs?
She needs to take some vitamin D.
When she heard strange noises coming from her home office. Downstairs, she found a man with an 18-inch sword getting ready to make off with her computer and other electronics. The man, identified as Timothy Clinch, 31, allegedly then held the sword to her throat, forcing her into a chair. The burglar told Ricketts that he had tied up her husband, but Ricketts said she knew her husband was sleeping upstairs along with their two children. He was completely delusional. When the intruder ran outside, apparently in pursuit of Ricketts' husband, whom he believed had escaped, Ricketts locked the door behind him. Authorities soon found Clinch hiding behind a nearby SUV and arrested him. They booked him on charges of burglary, kidnapping, and assault with a deadly weapon and said he had narcotics in his system.
What kind of idiot goes to rob someone and takes an 18-inch sword?
A drug addict? Only drug addicts would do that. Why
he must
even
have gotten it at like a pawn
him?
Shop.
He's like,
or he stole it.
I am Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod. And I want your furniture.
He had a kind of magic on his MP3 player.
He's like, you have a rare Queen DVD or a CD in your collection I must own.
Never mind how careful you are behind the wheel or how long you've been driving. The signs of the Zodiac may be bigger factors behind your ability to avoid car crashes or why you have too many. According to a study by insurancehotline.com, they say that astrological signs are a significant factor in predicting car accidents.
Bullshit.
The study, which looked at 100,000 North American drivers' records from the past 6 years, puts Libras, which were born September 23rd to October 22nd, followed by Aquarians, January 20th to February 18th, as the worst offenders for tickets and accidents.
Damn, I just missed it.
Leos, July 23rd to August 22nd, and then Geminis, May 21st to June 20th, were found to be the best overall.
I was absolutely
shocked by the results, said Lee Romanoff, president of insurancehotline.com. She originally wanted to have some fun by examining astrological signs as a possible cause
You're
for the variance.
Rubbish.
Between insurance company quoting high and low rates, but didn't expect to find anything interesting. Now changing postal codes is far less significant to me than the drivers of certain astrological signs.
Show you what is that. Ta-da!
They take in the fact of the time of year, you know, like January, snow and ice on the ground.
Well, it's your birthday. It's the person who causes the accident's birthday. Even age, another variable for determining insurance rates, is less of a consideration to Romanoff. The cutoff line for being considered a high-risk driver is 24 years of age. 24-year-olds are considered non-high-risk. She's saying, I'd rather get into a car with a 24-year-old Leo than a 25-year-old Aries. What a moron.
I only drive with 28-year-old Virgos.
But now she's all into I believe the astrological sign determines it.
Bitch.
But she just did 100,000 cases, and to me, it's a load of crap. But
and who, what is you this site?
InsuranceHotline.com.
Oh, my God. Does this lady work for the insurance company?
She's
Sir, what sign are you? Because your rates are going to be higher. What?
Mine should be cheap then.
Oh, I'm Pisces, so
nice,
I don't.
Nice
I don't
Leo coming down.
I'm guessing that the person who wrote the article was a Leo because they were the best drivers.
Yeah. You're not on there. I don't see a Scorpio on there either. But they just have the two best.
Vanessa's a feces.
Yes. And what are you, Bill?
A Virgo.
A virgin.
No, a Virgo.
A virgin.
No, there's a big
proposal
difference.
Proposal to jack off.
Virgin.
Okay, then you're a gigantic piece of shit.
Oh, you already called me that, so you're a virgin.
People no, like I called you take feces. That quote way out of
dang,
context.
Dang! Virgin. You're untouched.
Yes. I'm saving human. Myself.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
What? That's all I've got.
Well, thanks, Vanessa. I thought it
sure.
would be good to have you back, but I was wrong. Well, thanks for
yeah.
fight me.
Before we move on, do we have any cult news, Bill?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Bill, cult news. What do you got this week in the world of cults?
Okay, well, did you remember hearing about how J-Lo and Jim Carrey went to Tom Cruise's wedding?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Well, you know what? People think possibly that J-Lo and Jim Carrey are now Scientologists.
Uh-oh.
Page Six in New York says it appears that the mystery link between Carrey and Lopez to Scientology is quite possible. It says Carrey is taking the introductory beginner courses, and I guess that Leah Remini, the chick from, what is that?
The King of Queens?
Yeah, King of Queens is a good friend of J-Lo.
Wow!
So King of Queens will be super-duper Scientology. That's why
are you guys dumb?
Okay.
There have recently been three legal cases in the Canadian legal system dealing with ethical issues and proposals of Jehovah's Witnesses and the treatment of them in hospital. I guess there were three blood transfusions performed at a hospital in Canada without being approved by the Jehovah's Witnesses. Wait, isn't that the dog sex sound? Are you implying that Jehovah's Witnesses have sex with dogs?
Nice catch, Blanco Nino.
So goofy. Do you remember David Duke?
Yeah.
The politician, he was a Ku Klux Klan leader. Well, there's this huge conference going on over in Iran, and it's all about that crazy Iran president who always wears the members-only jacket. He started this conference that is totally about reviewing the Holocaust. It's basically an anti-Holocaust conference where people just sit around and talk about how much they hate the Jews.
Who's more racist, David Duke or Rosie?
Rosie, because she doesn't like Chinese people.
No, she doesn't like them.
Does that sound like someone who's filled with tolerance and love?
No. But David Duke decided that he would go over and join the conference, which isn't really that surprising.
Yeah, big shocker.
He told Mike Schuster on the our NPR that in Europe you can ridicule and criticize and deny Jesus Christ. You can criticize and deny the Prophet Muhammad. You can put out the rankest kind of pornography degrading women. But if you simply have an intellectual view and you contest certain aspects of the official Holocaust story or historiography, then you can go to prison. What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
Remember that guy in the Netherlands that made that film that was criticizing Islam and he got killed on the street?
Yeah.
I mean, to say that in Europe you can say anything and get away with it, yet if you question the Holocaust, you go to prison, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Your instincts aren't wrong. It's not funny.
The next thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, the Italian police are now having to form a Satan squad because there's a growing problem of Italian satanic gangs.
Awesome.
So now the Italian police need to they're creating this squad that would include occult experts and psychologists. So, you know, keep an eye out if you go to Italy for those crazy satanic gang members.
But what are they doing
members.
That's illegal? I don't get it. Are they
got little skulls
doing human
on their
sacrifices?
Well,
yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're saying this new generation of Satanists have been blamed for a number of high-profile, gruesome murders, including a recent case where a young couple was bludgeoned and then buried alive in the woods just outside Milan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's an actual serious problem over there, so be careful.
Jesus, I'm not going there.
No, Satan.
Even for
their
the pizza.
Tourism industry's going to go down.
And one of our last stories here, you know, Tom Cruise has actually leapt to the top of the least favorite poll that was taken recently. So his Hollywood evil superstar medium. Tom Cruise is trying his best to change his image, but most Americans still consider him too strange and have voted him the least favorite star in a recent poll. Only 12% of respondents said they would make a big effort to watch any of his movies, and 34% said they would not see one at all. Jeez.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't like Scientology. I think he's a wacko. I think Scientology's crazy. But the dude's a good actor.
I would watch it. Yeah, I'm not going to stop watching his films.
I don't find
films.
Him a good actor. If I found him a good actor, it probably wouldn't bother me one way or the other. I just don't care for his acting ability.
MI3 was awesome, and I don't.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe it
Steven,
wasn't because
you're missing
of Tom Cruise.
Out, man. He's got a great library of films. I think you should take a look at.
Yeah, it probably had more to do with J.J. Abrams, but yeah, I enjoyed it. But I guess you know people. You see all those housewives that watch Oprah, and then he started doing that couch jumping thing, and I guess it kind of scared him off. Like, well, this guy's nutty. And it also looks like Mel Gibson is the sixth favorite actor, even though. He hates the Jews.
Well, as long as you
nothing I can't do with a race car.
Before you move on, isn't it funny how that happens? If you kind of still like the guy, yeah, we'll forgive him. But Tom Cruise, nah, don't really like him. So I'm going to go ahead and hold that grudge against him.
Yeah, there's a difference between being nutty and being an anti-Semite.
Yeah, Tom Cruise has not said he hated anyone like that.
No.
That's the thing. It's if Tom Cruise had just jumped on the couch, it's okay. But the lot of his is an accumulation of bizarre and cocky, and I just can't stand him.
There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance.
Exactamundo.
I'd really like to hear Tom Cruise's stance on creationism.
Oh, Lord, no, I wouldn't.
Well, I know what it
we
is.
Came
we,
from
were,
clams.
We evolved from clams.
Oh, you know, it's possible.
You know, I can almost hear the clam scream when I eat fried clams.
But too bad your ass got sad.
Have a little clam bake, and then they start screaming. You're, no,
they start yelling at you.
Cannibal! You know, I like that theory better than a god just created everything. Yes. Boring!
Clams are much more tastier. And so lastly...
God's invisible. I can see clams.
I think this is cool. In London, the West End, which is like their Broadway... they're starting a new run of the Rocky Horror Show, which is the original stage version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And that's starting on December 21st for any of our British fans, which is really cool. If I was over there, I'd definitely go see it because I love the Rocky Horror Show.
Here it goes.
I just remember seeing it in high school at those midnight shows where everybody would get dressed up and be drunk and crazy.
I went during college to one of those.
Jason
it was just so fun. It was
really
it is bizarre. Oh, it's not that gay. I mean, it's gay, yes, but
yeah,
it's not
it
that
is.
Gay.
It's like
it's fun, though, to be ludicrous like that.
Gay. It's not full gay sex. It's more like a hand job.
Yeah, exactly. Like and you could always close your eyes and not really feel gay if you're a hand job. Hopefully, they don't have man hands.
Exactly.
Emmy worthy.
All right, that's cult news for this week.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. You did a fantastic cult news.
And you were fantastic listeners.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and another thing, Bill?
For you, I'm Christmas tree.
Excellent.
In the spirit of Christmas.
And Rocky Horror.
Well, what do you say we get into some DVDs? What do you say?
Let's do some DVDs.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! 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 DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, mother sucker!
Yes!
All right, Bill, what have we got in DVDs this week?
All right. These are DVDs for December 19th, 2006. This is your last chance to get some DVDs for somebody for Christmas.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Well, I don't know where that really fits into it, but...
just go along with it.
Yeah, okay. First DVD I want to talk about is something that I have no idea why anybody would want to spend $20 on, and that's 9/11, the Commission Report. Would you like to sit down for 2 hours and watch a documentary on how they came up with the commission report for 9/11?
Not so much.
Not really.
Yeah, neither would
Sounds
I.
Sounds like
so
a great
really
holiday
understand.
Flick to watch. Gather
it's
around
really
the
uplifting.
Fire, everyone.
Yeah, it's horribly uplifting. Next DVD is a film that really kind of languished in obscurity and got shelved and then finally got released. It's All the King's Men. It's the Steven Zaillian written and directed film with Sean Penn.
Really good stuff.
Jude Law, James Gandolfini. It's really an all-star cast in it. And I think it's about that the Louisiana governor,
right.
I think Dewey or something.
Yeah,
I know,
and was he corrupt?
No, he wasn't corrupt. He was a little corrupt. He was a boozer and a womanizer. But
hey, who is
he? So a man.
What?
Ooh. A man.
Oh, yeah, he was a man, exactly.
Yeah.
Ten and, people you'll meet in hell.
But I think Paul Newman did a movie version of that, too, called Blaze with...
Right,
who's that
right.
chick with the red hair? I can't remember.
Yeah,
that
Lolita Davidovich?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
Lolita
right, Vanessa.
Lolita Davidovich.
Wow, Vanessa got something right on this show.
Oh, bite me.
I think it's the world's ending. The sign of the apocalypse. The clams
and,
are coming back for our souls.
Let's dig into that bag of nothing for another American Pie Presents film.
Yes.
It's The Naked Mile coming out in unrated widescreen and full screen editions. And I think they actually got Eugene Levy to do a part in this one also.
He's paying his boat off or something?
Well, he's doing something. He's got to be doing something with that money.
I think he's trying to go for the Michael Caine record of making movies.
I guess so. I mean, he's got his buddy Christopher Guest. He's got all those classy films. Why is he making this?
No idea. I really... Eugene Levy is a mystery.
I get it.
Next set is if you... I mentioned the first volume, but the second volume is now out of the Charlie Chan collection. Everyone loves a white man dressed up as an Asian.
Yeah, that's not racist at all.
Especially Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell loves these
movies. No, that is so offensive. Stop.
In Rosie, we have four films in this volume two. It's Charlie Chan at the Opera, Charlie Chan at the Olympics, Charlie Chan at the racetracks.
Now, Bill, who plays Charlie Chan in these movies?
Danny DeVito.
You're asking me something that I... Is it, I want to say his name is Warner or something. Is it Warner? I can't remember his last name. One of our...
Hey, Buckman. You're a slacker. Do you want to be a slacker for the rest of your life?
It was Mr. Strickland? Shut up, Yoda. Wasn't funny. Next DVDs are, I love these. These Walt Disney Treasures DVDs that they release... they're releasing the Complete Pluto Volume 2 in a limited edition tin. And
worst episode ever.
Hey, Pluto's not that bad.
It's not a planet anymore.
Aww.
Well, yeah, but it is still an animated dog.
That is true. They'll never take that away from Pluto.
Yes. There's a DVD coming out called The Cure Festival 2005, and I believe it's just a Cure concert. It has no details on it here.
So
every once in a while, when I'm really depressed, I like to listen to Disintegration and then shoot myself in the head.
Best album ever.
Coming from the one with frosted hair.
Does that count as emo?
Oh, totally. This is totally like early
totally
emo.
The emo, man. I always like that song, what is it called? The Forest?
All of them sound like that. What are you talking about? Every Cure song sounds exactly like that.
I'm afraid not, sir. That Love Cat song sounds totally different.
You going to do the big Academy Award performance? Go ahead. I'm expecting that. That's going to happen.
Next DVD is a series I actually watched for some stupid reason, and that's Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, the complete season one.
Oh, man.
Did any of you catch any episodes of this? Because no. It was actually entertaining.
I've seen glimpses of it.
Gene Simmons is just so absolutely insane, and his kids are just so embarrassed that this guy is their father.
This is a guy, that's what all of them turn out, Ozzy, Hulk Hogan, it's all the same, and...
Well, you know what it is? Gene Simmons is such a whore. He sells everything.
Yeah.
You should see his office. It's just filled with all this shit that he sells. You might want to get this DVD for your daughter, Vanessa. It's Gwen Stefani, Harajuku Lovers Live.
If Why do kids like her?
Because you know what? She's pretty. She dresses stylishly.
My daughter's nine!
No kids that age have good taste in music. It's just it's whatever they're bombarded with. You can't win the battle against Madonna and Fergie and Gwen Stefani.
But see, Marissa also likes classical, so I got her on that side.
She doesn't really. She's lying to you.
Exactly. She's just doing it to be like, Mom, I love it too.
Well, we couldn't have that now, could we?
Hogan's Heroes complete fifth season, if you want.
Awesome!
Bob Crane fix. The next DVD is, I don't know if you would really call this a classic, but it's based on a short story collection by Ray Bradbury, and that's The Illustrated Man with Rod Steiger. Did you guys see any of these?
That's been a long time, I think.
Yeah, it was from like 69, I think. But it's just, I think it's cool that Warner Brothers actually goes so far back into their catalog and gives these older films a chance on DVD. Just to widen the audience, but it's definitely one that you'd want to watch. It's pretty interesting.
What do you think this is, an X-rated bookstore?
I wish it was. Next DVD is Invincible, the Mark Wahlberg film about...
Awesome!
Is it Vince Papale or Papale?
Something like that. Papaya, I think.
Papaya. Oh, I like papaya.
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day, Mike.
Good Lord. It's not in the holiday spirit. No, that's the movie where he plays the guy who just tries out for the Eagles and gets on the team.
Yes.
It's kind of an underdog story.
Because they're all mad at him because he didn't go to college and put in his dues.
A lot of undrafted guys now in the NFL. He paved the way, did he not, Bill?
Yeah, look at Willie Parker, who's the running back for the Steelers now. He was undrafted. And
yeah, Tony Romo, undrafted.
Absolutely. But it looks like an interesting movie. I've yet to see it. I'll probably rent it because the only other release is the Blu-ray, which I refuse to own at this point.
I like sports movies. I can get into stuff like that.
Yeah, there's something about sports movies. I think it appeals to our inner man.
Yeah, when they're done right, when they do the overly cheesy, it doesn't work, you know.
Yeah, like I couldn't stand that Remember the Titans.
Oh, yeah. I cried in that one.
Oh, shut up. That was really painful.
But
for
you know what we don't talk about enough on the show, Bill, is Friday Night Lights, the TV show. It's a really good show.
Awesome show. I love that show. I was so disappointed at the end of this week because they didn't show a next week. And I was like, damn it, they're going on break.
I know. And people may say, you know, like, I'm not into football. I won't watch that. That's not really what it's about. It's just relationships. It's a drama.
It's a football game at the end of the show.
I'm going to almost say that what they've done is they've taken the Battlestar Galactica formula, put it into a football show.
They really have. And you know what? Sometimes in some episodes, there's not even any football.
Yeah, none at all. It's awesome.
So it's really terrific show.
That's what I'm saying. It's there in background. You don't really ever...
They'll show them go to practice or whatever, but it's almost like the opposing team is the Cylons, and they don't always show them.
Right.
Huh?
I got
was just agreeing with him because he's scared.
What?
Annihilation is my name. Winning is my game.
The next DVD is Jet Li's Fearless, which is a pretty good movie. It's a retelling of this
No, he's fearless.
Yes, he's fearless. It's a retelling that they've done a million different movies about this character, but this is really good. It's about this tournament started to bring on the Chinese guy against all the other ones, and he, like, kicks all their asses, and then there's this one big battle at the
end. Say?
Yes. But this is a good movie. It's
Does it have any kind of communistic undertones to it?
Unlike Hero, it doesn't have as much, but it is about the creation of China, basically. So,
China,
yeah, in some
say?
Ways. Well, we're really getting a run on that one. But not only is this coming out on DVD, it's hitting HD DVD also. Which
awesome!
Super cool. Next DVD is Lady in the Water, the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie.
I heard horrible things about that movie.
I actually saw it, and I really loved it. I thought it was... Yes, the chick in the pool, as Ivan Reitman called it. But it's a very good...
It became very chic to bash M. Night Shyamalan when that movie came out.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if the movie's good or bad. I haven't seen it. But it did seem like it became very in vogue to start bashing the dude.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of people expected a lot of surprises and stuff, especially with The Village, and that's just not what the movie was about.
Right.
And it's same with this one. It's a bedtime story. It's really cool. I really enjoyed it, and I'm definitely going to pick it up also on HD DVD.
The guy said he made it for his kids, and he got it made, and that's probably all he cares about.
Yeah, and I hope it brings in the money that it didn't make in the theater on video.
And, you know, the twist at the end is that The Village, modern day. So that apartment complex, you thought it was like in colonial times? Nope.
Nope.
Modern day. There's a mall down the street.
With a Quiznos sub.
And a Spencer's Gifts.
Mm-hmm. Next DVD is Little Miss Sunshine, which was just people really raved about this thing.
Little Miss Sunshine, is this about Vanessa?
Yeah, no, but this was like the indie darling this year.
Yeah, and you know what? I want to see it.
Yeah, so do I. It's Greg Kinnear, Tony Collette, Steve Carell, and it's about this little girl with this crazy family that go across country to participate in a beauty queen contest.
Right, right.
And it looks pretty funny.
It looks like it brings the funny.
I hope it does. Next DVD is My Super Ex-Girlfriend, which opened against Lady in the Water, so it shows how these things tend to come out on video at the same
time.
That
movie looked really bad.
Yeah, from what I understand...
Yeah, they said it was kind of miscast. And
it just, yeah, from what I understand, it's really horrible.
It's a Saturday Night Live skit, isn't it?
For you Paris Hilton fans, you can get...
I'm pretty and I'm smart and I come from a privileged background.
National Lampoon's Pledge This in its unrated naughty version.
What the hell is that?
Whoever.
Well,
what?
it's a new, I guess, sorority
direct-to-video
movie. Pledge
get
This.
I'm gonna get shot, straight... murdered, raped.
Yes, it's a straight to video, and it says, "But when Victoria, the Queen of Mean, declares war on the freshmen, things really get hot."
Oh no, seen this movie before?
Yeah. And Victoria is played by Paris Hilton, which I'm sure is just Oscar-worthy.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
Now, even though you never picked these as my DVD of the week, this is my DVD of the week. And it's Police Story, which is Jackie Chan's first big movie. You know, there was a whole series of these Police Story movies.
Uh-huh.
But this one is just, this is his, arguably his best.
Wait, where's Jackie Chan from?
He's from Hong Kong. Holy shit. Wow. Okay, so this is like the first one that had the awesome stunts and the fights. And it was really, really big. And I don't think it's gotten a decent DVD release until now. So if you love classic Hong Kong action movies, especially Jackie Chan, you should definitely pick this one up because it's awesome. And it's got DTS 5-1 for a movie that was made in 85. Next DVD is The Promise. This is a Chinese film from the director of Farewell, My Concubine, and the cinematographer of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, it's, really? Wow, yeah, that movie is beautiful. What's that guy's name?
I can't remember.
Oh, Foggy, no.
You sprung a question on me. This movie, it's about a slave who can outrun stampeding bulls, battling warriors who soar from treetop to treetop, awe-inspiring feats of martial arts mastery, breathtaking visuals, and heart-stopping action, all intertwined in this haunting tale of a beautiful princess torn between destiny and desire.
Sounds cool.
The Promise soars with a gravity-defying thrills. Prepare to be amazed, astonished, and carried to new heights by a romantic epic of exceptional emotional resonance. I've been wanting to see this one for a while, and I hadn't been able to find a copy online, and I didn't want to buy it and import it because it was way too expensive. But this movie looks absolutely incredible, and it's gotten a lot of really good reviews.
And it is called, once again,
The Promise.
Awesome. I'll check it out.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want to check it out. If you like Crouching Tiger and House of
Flying Daggers.
House of Flying Daggers?
Yeah. Okay. Sold.
This is a lot like those, but I actually, from what I understand, it's a little better than House of Flying Daggers.
Bite your tongue.
And let's round this up. On DVD this week is A Scanner Darkly, the Richard Linklater rotoscope film.
Will somebody call a cab?
With Keanu Reeves, Woody Harrelson, Winona Ryder.
Now,
Robert
here's
Downey
what I
Jr. want to
know about this movie. Okay, mm-hmm. it's they use that computer program that animates over real life actors, right?
Yeah, the rotoscoping,
and it seems really cool. But will I be able to sit through this film?
Did you
probably
sit through Waking
not.
Life?
I couldn't sit through The Waking Life.
Well, you know what? Waking Life was that really shaky animation.
And it's really cool looking, but, and I know what it's all about, the talking about philosophy,
yeah,
and kind of, but I
can't. If you're not into philosophy, you really with that movie, you can actually just shut your eyes and listen to it more so than watch
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm going to podcast it. Cool. I'm going to put it on my iPod and listen.
A Scanner Darkly looked really interesting, and just the rotoscoping style,
mm-hmm.
it just looked really cool, so I'm going to have to check
well,
it out.
Yeah, they don't have that floating camera, like you said, the shaky cam or whatever.
I saw like a 20-minute clip online where you could watch it when the movie came out to get you to go see it, and it kind of does. It wasn't as bad, though.
That they had that, I mean, it really just floated. The camera just kind of...
The narrative of the film, I mean, the way that they talk and everything, it's much the same way as Waking Life. That's the way it felt to me.
She
just kind of like a
like
lot of zany out there talking about the universe and how man exists in a space alone. And
well,
blah,
Richard
blah.
Linklater does tend to do those anymore.
Yeah, and you know, I love Richard Linklater. I love, like, Before Sunset, or I don't even know if
After Sunset.
After Sunset. Yeah, After Sunset. I love those films, and they're
those
very talky, long conversation, but I get into that. Maybe it's the animation throws me off. Even though I think it's cool.
You know what? It's also the chemistry between Ethan Hawke and what's the girl's name?
Julie Delpy.
Yeah, Julie Delpy for those movies. And you can't forget Dazed and Confused. And, you know, he's done his fair share of good stuff. Like, right now, I think he's releasing Fast Food Nation.
Yeah. But I do want to see this. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that Waking Life, I had trouble. I was kind of found myself wandering during it. Like, I'm going to get up and go take a walk instead.
And I totally agree with you.
I know
you
the total unease of the camera movement.
I got a total headache watching that.
Yeah.
I've watched it once, and I haven't gone back to it since. And that's DVDs for December 19th, 2006.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. And I hope have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, same to you all.
Oh,
right, everybody. That was episode 64 of Nowhere in Mulberry, brought to you by the Nintendo 64.
Baka, 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 baka.
What the hell?
Holy shit, he picks it out.
Yes. Out of nowhere, Ed. You're going to surprise me like that. Wow.
I could hear the gears turning in his head on whether or not to do it.
Well, thank you for that, Steven. Thank you guys for doing the show, and thank you for spending a year with us on Nowhere in Mulberry. We've had a great time. We hope you have a Merry Christmas. If you would like to call and leave us a voicemail, much like Brock did, much like the Rondu did, call 1-206-202-3491. Or send an MP3 message to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send us an email of funny stuff, stuff you like, you know, what you thought of the show, how much you were angry at us, how pretentious we are.
We use the same jokes.
Your favorite Christmas movies, your favorite comic books, your worst comic book movies.
But actually, don't send that because we're already past that subject. Everyone go see Rocky Balboa on Friday, then get on the chat at nimchat.com, and we'll talk what we thought about Rocky. What do you say?
Awesome. That's a date.
If he dies, he dies.
Bring your own booze.
Yeah, bring your own booze. Bring your own Shasta. Bring your own A&W root beer. It's got that frosty mug taste.
If you're going to bring Shasta, bring ginger ale. It's the only I like.
Oh, really?
Only Shasta ginger ale. Don't cry.
I love you guys. Merry Christmas, everybody. A Shasta. Oh, and they're the shape of a Christmas tree. It almost looks like a big Coca-Cola cult is what it looks like to me.
It's the Branch Davidians.
Now, thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And before we go, I would like to play you a special song to tell you how much we love you on Christmas. Everybody, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Tis the season to be jolly, and we'll close out on this great song. This is by Bill. He recorded this for the show, and I want to thank you for that, Bill.
No, it's not me.
Thank you very much, Bill. Merry Christmas.
No, it's not me.
Just picture Bill in his library.
Oh, holy night. Stars are...
He had a lot of... like a fan right next to the mic. Oscillating
fan. Oh my God, it's horrible.
Vanessa.
Gotta be a lot of wind noise.
Bill recorded this for the show. Don't say that. It's horrible.
This guy's singing is god awful.
This is Bill. I already...
Be quiet and enjoy it.
You will enjoy the song! Merry Christmas!
You better shut up or I'm turning this car around.
And the soap out. It's what? The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Nice.
On your knees.
Huh?
Oh, he.
Whoa!
Dear God! Make it stop!
Angels voices. Oh, nice.
Start crying. Bill, do you start crying?
Divine, oh night, when Christ was born,
divine, oh, a cat died. Oh man.
Get the man a Ricola.
How many?
You know it was.
Wait a second. Is this Tiamat?
Una diva. You know it was.
That was genius.
Are you okay, like, Vanessa?
Yes, I'm fine.
Sorry you had to hear that. Well, guys, that was our Christmas show. Merry Christmas. Right. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas, guys.
I love you.
Bye, love you.
Talk to you later.
Casting.